Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. All this week, the Lord has had me reflecting on this one principle, and I can't get away from it. And that particular principle or saying is, with great blessing comes great responsibility. Or another way that you might think of it is that you are blessed to be a blessing. But for me, it's this one of with great blessing comes great responsibility. And now I know the first thing that most people think of when they think about blessings and responsibility is they think about money, right? When you hear that, you think about money. And that's absolutely true. That's true. A scripture that we hear often quoted is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, where it reads, "Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." And so this passage of scripture is indicating really that there are two primary reasons that God enriches us financially. The first would be that God gives us material blessings so that we can invest in his kingdom. You see, God doesn't begrudge what he has given us, but with his blessing, with what he's blessed us with, comes an assignment. So we're not just blessed to have what we have, we're blessed, but along with the blessing comes an assignment. And so with great power, you may have heard this saying, with great power comes great responsibility. And I know many of my younger listeners may be thinking that this quote came right out of the Spider-Man movie, but let me help you. It wasn't original on Spider-Man. Actually, that quote originated from Winston Churchill back in 1906, and it was in reference to the government's responsibility to be accountable to its citizens. And so again, with great power comes great responsibility. And so here's the biblical version of that. In Luke 12:48, it reads, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Right? And so there are two basic ways of looking at your resources that reveal a lot about your maturity, or the way that we look at our resources reveals a lot about our spiritual maturity. And one of the ways is where you think, well, my life belongs to me. I should give some of my stuff to God, but you become giving like a tax collector, or like a tax. You do it grudgingly. And this kind of thinking is really immature, and it shows you've barely really begun to understand this whole process of discipleship. The mature way of looking at this is that, Father, it all belongs to you, and I'm not the owner, but I am the steward. And so my gifts and my talents and my time and my resources were given to me for the benefit of your kingdom, right? That is the mature way. And so we see that God is not only talking about money from that scripture, but God specifically talks about our gifts and our talents and our time. And then, yes, of course, it includes our financial resources. But our gifts, what are our gifts? Our gifts are those things that God just blessed us with from birth. We came into the world with them, that God, the Creator, put them in us when he formed us in our mother's wombs. He put them in us. He gave them to us. He fashioned us and he formed us with them. And it wasn't anything that we had to work for. We just came with them. Let me give you an example. I'm sure many of us know people who have never taken a music lesson, but they play like they're playing right from the throne, right from angels, right? They play with perfection. They've got perfect pitch, or right? Singers who you can hear somebody who you know is talented, but then there are those who are gifted. And immediately, like I think of a Luther Vandross, or I think of a Whitney Houston, or I think of C.C. Winans, and I could go on and on, where when they sing, you know, it's not just a song to them, but you just know that God has divinely touched their voices, right? And the same for musicians. And so we know that in athletics or in sports, I can think of Michael Jordan or LeBron James, right? Where these gentlemen are just gifted basketball players. And then there are talents. Talents are those aptitudes and those skills that are abilities that we've acquired through the years. And we continue to work on them, and we continue to hone them, and we continue to develop them. And then when you combine our gifts with our talents, and that's one of the things I think about when I think about people like Michael Jordan or LeBron James, or I think about the late Kobe Bryant, right? These men have incredible work ethics, where they have these gifts and then they combine them with the talent, the skills, the basketball acumen, the basketball IQ, or whatever the case may be. And they combine these things together to make for an incredible force, to make for incredible gifts and talents to the world, literally. And then the scripture talks about time. And so we may not have a lot of the material stuff like a Michael Jordan or LeBron James or the late Kobe Bryant, right? We might not have those material wealth or material blessings and all of that that they have. But here's the thing about time. Time is truly the great equalizer. You see, no matter our station in life, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we live in North America, South America, whether we live in Asia or Africa or Australia, right? Time is truly the great equalizer, because we all only have 24 hours in a day. And so the question really becomes, what are we doing with our time? Are we using it to bring glory and honor to God, or are we squandering our time? Time is precious, right? And that's why the scripture uses those, talks about those things, the gifts and our talents and our resources, right? And so resources, of course, then is our money, our financial resources, those tangible assets that we have. And so then the second reason God gives us material blessings according to the scripture is so that our giving produces thanksgiving unto him, him being God. And Paul said that the material blessings are, quote, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that we truly are blessed to be a blessing, but it begins with fellow believers. It begins at the household of faith, that our gifts and our talents and our abilities and our time and our resources should first be applied to our brothers and our sisters of the household of faith. And then he says, but it's not just for us, but it's not just for us, those who already know God, those who already testify of his goodness. But he says, but it is also for those who may not know God, and that they, when they see how God uses us, and when they see how God blesses us, and when they see the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us, that it is for us to be a blessing to them. And in doing so, it just might provoke them to give thanks to our God, because nobody else seemed to help them. Nobody else even seemed to want to help or to be interested in helping them, to help them meet their needs. And yet here we are, using our time, using our gifts, using our resources, using our talents, using the material blessings that God has blessed us with to be a blessing to them. And so I can't help it, but for us as believers, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, understanding that our ultimate assignment is to win people to Christ. And I can't help again but think of how appropriate Matthew 5 and 16 here is from the New Living Translation, where it says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The New King James Version, which we're more familiar with, is, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, right? The point is that when we see, or when people see, and when we see the good deeds that we do, and we let it shine for everyone to see, then all of a sudden the praise and the glory can go to God. We can't take any credit. We don't steal the glory. And I know, my brothers and my sisters, I know that what I'm sharing with you is not necessarily new. And I know for many of us, it is familiar, right? And we've all heard this or some variation of this before. But every now and then, we need to be reminded of what God is calling us to do. The Lord specifically was reminding me of this week, not to let my emotions overshadow my responsibility to my assignment. Yes, me, I was convicted this week. People, which includes our family, will see how the Lord has prospered us and see how the Lord has blessed us. But here's the crazy part. They don't want anything to do with us. We don't hear from them. They don't reach out to us. They don't call us just to see how we're doing. They don't touch out to us just to see if we're okay. But you can rest assured that whenever there's a financial need, we will hear from them. Now, I have to pause right here. How many of us know that our families, our own families, can be trifling? Yes, they can, right? But then regardless, the question still becomes, what is our response? We really do have to seek the Lord to know how to respond, because come on, let's just tell the truth, because that fleshly response will rise up in a hurry to say to them, the only time that I hear from you is when you want some money from me, or the only time I hear from you is when you want something from me. I hear you saying amen. I do, because it happened to me this week. So that's why I'm just putting it out there, right? And so while that is true, that statement is absolutely true, the question still remains, Lord, how would you have me to respond? And I must pause right here for a moment to say, make sure that you have a circle of godly men and women around you who will let you blow off steam, who will let you go off the deep end, who will let you say what's in your fleshly heart and mind to say, and then at the end of it all, they'll walk you back from the ledge, and when it's all said and done, they'll bring you back to remind you of who you are in God. They'll bring you back to remind you of who you are in Christ. They'll bring you back to remind you of what your assignment is. And I had a brother tell me this, and this was so good. He said, because at the end of the day, when the Lord said that you will do great exploits in my name, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will have your name in lights and people all over the world will know who you are. It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have a mega ministry or a mega church. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a house and cars and land and people will know your name, that they'll know you like they know Bill Gates, or they'll know you like they know a Warren Buffett. No, that's not what it means when it says you'll do great exploits. So it won't be like you'll be like a general like David and people will know that he was a man of war. And when people, wherever he came, people would praise him and talk about his great exploits. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't mean that that's not the case. But more often than not, the great exploits mean that you will do what God has called you to do. The great exploits mean that you will keep to the assignment that God has assigned you to do. Because at the end of the day, no matter how frustrating it may be, no matter how challenging the situation may be, no matter how angering the situation may be, we must remember that with great blessing comes great responsibility. Matthew, right? 5:16. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And I do mean everything, family. Everything we have, our families, our friendships, our relationships, our homes, our cars, our jobs, our businesses, our careers, our education, our gifts that God gave us and graced us with that we didn't even earn, deserve, or know about. We just came with those from the Creator. Our talents, those things that we hone and we perfect and we continue to work on, our time, which God gives us when He wakes us up in the morning, right? And yes, even our financial resources. You put in the blanks that I say everything, I mean everything belongs to God. And here's the fact of the matter, family, that God can use them and use us as He sees fit to bring glory and honor to His name. And so we have to get out of our feelings. We have to get out of, well, you always do this and you always do that. We have to get out of that And we have to yield that flesh. We have to yield our spirits. We have to yield our carnal minds. We have to yield all of that. And we say, Lord, I surrender my lowercase spirit to your uppercase S spirit. And then, Lord, use me. Use whatever I have. I'm just a steward over it so that you can get the glory out of my life. You can get the glory out of our lives. That is our assignment, that we would go and that we would use everything that God has blessed us with, even when we don't want to, even when we don't feel like it, even, yes, when people continue to use us. And again, I say, the question has to be, Lord, what would you have me to do? So remember, family, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.